what has happened so far? Right? So, Yama, Nachiketa wants to know about the beyond, right? About Paramatma. What is, who is God? What is life and all of that? And Visheshajnana, not the general knowledge, special knowledge, because he's talking to Yama. But Yama wants to tempt him, test to see if he has the character. So knowledge and character go together. Do not give knowledge to characterless. that's always been in the Indian tradition, is knowledge has to be given to the right vehicle, the right the messenger. Right? The message has to be given to the right messenger. So Yama tests him with a lot of temptations. So what is the nature of temptation? They give comfort, they give status. Right? So all of the, it's basically, we cannot not be tempted by these things. Okay? We want things easy, and we want the status. Right? People looking up, looking up. Right? So 99.9% of the people will fall for this. Okay? But Nachiketa did not fall for this. He was very, very adamant that he wanted to know. And at the end of it, Yama is so overjoyed that he really got, because the teacher needs good students, right? So Yama was overjoyed that he got somebody. And when a teacher gets somebody that is genuine and interested to know and deserves to know, the teacher pours more than what the student has asked. So Yama just pours in the next different vallis and the next chapter, everything more than what Nachiketa had asked. So the first thing he starts after this, giving the temptations and then Nachiketa not falling for it, is he says, you're so special because look at humanity. Humanity, majority of the people are not going to make these choices. Huh? So he talks about the choice, like what kind of choices we have, right? So I'll just summarize before we go to the next mantra. So he says, So you have two choices. So your choices, anything in life, right? You have always have two choices. The prayer's choice. What is prayer's choice? Yeah, so it's like honey, right? In the sense that it's going to give you comfort, it's pleasurable, and then it's status, So it has to tend to your senses and to your ego, right? So this is all senses and ego, this one. And you don't need any special training for that. Even animals will fall for that. So there is no need for any special training. So 99% of the humanity falls for that choice, right? And the nature has wired us that way. So why are we like this? That is the next one, right? And that's what he says. And Shreya says what? It's a choice that is goes beyond your comfort, goes beyond pleasure, goes beyond status. So it is everything that, that is something that the body is telling you. So the body is telling you to make this choice, but this is the choice that you have to go beyond what the body naturally tells us. Right? So that is called the Shreya's choice. It's more long term, more something that is more, it's better than just indulging in the prayer's choice. Right? So he says, these are the two choices available for all, all the people, but most of them make the prayer's choice. You have made the Shreya's choice. Now the next one, he says, why is it, What is the reason for this? He says, prayer's choice is nothing but avidya. Right? And Shreya's choice is what is called as vidya. Prayer's choice comes from avidya. Shreya's choice comes from vidya. So now what is avidya? Don't tell me ignorance. I know it's ignorance. More than that. What is avidya?
Doing something without thinking.
See, vid means to know, right? So that means that this is that which we are unaware of, right? That, you know, like unconscious, subconscious, right? Our genetic force, our instincts, the way our body is built, right? So when these two choices come, why do you pick this and not this? Because the body, there is a pressure in your mind. So if you are not picking the easy choice, your hormones and your body and your whatever, right? It's forcing you to make the choice. It's forcing you, right? See, because the pressure is always to go to previous choice. And that, hey, and that is avidya. So avidya is not, see, avidya, usually avidya is translated as something that we don't know. No, it's not like, you know, you don't know. It is that which we are not aware of. That which is below our awareness. How much of what we are is below our awareness? 99%. Right? So this is 99%. Right? What is that? It's our body, right? Our instincts, our genetics, everything that we are not aware of is avidya. And it is taking us, you know, it is taking us one way, this way. Vidya is what? Vidya is the light of awareness. It's the light of awareness. So if you look at it, you know, this is, if this is us, right? And vidya and avidya are together. In us, both are together. So the light of consciousness, that is, say, 1%. And that which we are not aware of, which is below our awareness, instincts, body sensations, and all of those things, right? The mental models, how we see the world, it's all it's like the fish in the water is not aware of water. That is its avidya, right? When we are within our mental model, we are not aware of, you know, the you know, we are bound in a jail, right? We are kind of there in that cell, but it's an invisible cell. The walls are invisible, but we don't know that the walls are invisible, and we are kind of stuck within it. That is avidya. Just like the fish doesn't know the water, we don't know our mental models. We don't know how we are seeing the world. We don't know all of these things, right? So all of that is 99%. But 1%, see, this is very powerful. This is the most powerful. And that is the reason why, when Yama talks about sadhana and all of that, he says, see, paranchikhani vyatrinat, Swayambhu tasmat parakpashyati na antaratman, right? So he says 99% of humanity, this is in the next chapter, 99% of the humanity are pulled outside, right? See, whenever they say outside, it is all this, which means outside is what? Because parakpashyati na antaratman, because the senses, the way senses is built, the senses is built to sense outside. Your sense organs will not see inside, right? It's only the mind that sees inside. All your five senses are all built to see outside. Parak pashyati na antaratman. That means all your five senses are built to sense outside, but not inside, right? Kaschit dhiraha pratyagatmanam aikshat. Only some, kaschit, only some, the 1%, dhiraha pratyagatmanam. Pratyagatma means the one who is inside. Avritta chakshuhu. So this is mind's eye. Because the eyes are turned inside. This eye will not turn inside. It's the mind's eye that turns inside. Right? Avritta chakshuhu. Amrutattvam icchan. Amrutattva. Eternality. Right? They want eternity. So they, desiring the eternity, they turn their eyes inwards. Right? So now, what does that mean? It means that even though our awareness is probably 1%, right? And everything that we are doing, like I'm walking, I'm not aware, right? But then what I can do? I can turn my awareness to walking, right? Your awareness is like a light. You can turn it anywhere. But wherever it's seeing, the other is below, you know, it's dark, right? So the awareness is like the spotlight. So you can take it anywhere. And when you take it somewhere, you can fix it. So when this turns around, and if something is broken in the 99%, that is, we are unaware. We can be aware of that, fix it, and then, you know, it's kind of fix it and set it free. And avidya is such that, you know, once you fix it, it will be like that, right? So, where habits come here, right? Your habit, are you aware of your habit? No, it's an unawareness, right? So, avidya is also habits. So, but you can still, you can build your habits. You can lose your bad habits, right? You can build good habits. So, how do you build? By turning that awareness, light of awareness, inside to yourself, you can fix things, right? So that is, so even though it's 1%, and that will never change, that 1% will not magically become 100%, the 1% will always be 1%, but who is in control of, who is the leader? Is it the 99% or the 1%, right? The people that turn the light inwards and fix the 99%, they are the ones, they make the prayers to us, right? So that is what he's going to say, that see, this is how it is built. Vidya is going to be 1%. Avidya is always 99%. But vidya is so powerful that once you turn the light of vidya on avidya, see, the darkness can be eternally there, but only one light is enough to glow the darkness. Okay? So that is what he says. Avidyayam antare vartamanaha swayam dhiraha panditam manyamanaha. So what is the nature of vidya? It's all, you know, that is our ego, status, needs, instincts, genetics, all of those things are avidya. See, we say we have three bodies. Right? What, like for example, Atma has three bodies, three shells. But Jiva has three shells. What is Jiva bound by? So there's one, two, three. This one is what? This is our external body, the physical body. Okay? So we lose it, we get new one, we lose that. So this keeps changing. This keeps changing all the time. A bad example, but think of it like, you know, your socks. It's like your shoes is changing, but you have the socks that's always there. But at some time, you can remove the socks. Right? So that is like that. So this is there. This is called a sthula sharira. Right, in English, for some reason, it's a gross body. But sthula sharira, that means that's the physical body. Your physical body, that is this. Then the other one, this one is called sukshma sharira. Sukshma. What is sukshma? What is sukshma sharira?
Which is the
jiva. Consciousness? No. Jiva has the sukshma sharira.
Consciousness.
What is consciousness?
Awareness. There is a difference between the two.
No, no, awareness is here, right? Without Atma, there is no awareness.
Subtle body.
What is subtle? Right?
That is subtle body is the
mind. Carries the experiences in the mind.
Yeah, so, sukshma sharira is, sthula sharira is this one. Your brain is also sthula sharira. Whatever, like after death, whatever remains is sthula sharira, right? Because that's what we are leaving and going. But what we carry, even after death, we still carry the two bodies, it says. What are those two bodies? One is, it's not like there is a body inside the body. It is a covering. I mean, what the jiva is carrying. And that is what manas, indriyas, all our indriyas, manas, buddhi, ahankara, chitta. All of these we carry. Right? That is sukshma. In the sukshma. So the structures are in the brain, but the essence of those are in the what is called a sukshma sharira. Again, that is the one that bounds it, right? That's like our socks. But then this is called as karana sharira. Even inside that, that's karana sharira or ajnana. Like, oh, there's beginningless ajnana. What is that? That is nothing but whatever we are unaware of. You know, the instincts, the body, the instincts, you know, and the ahankara, all of the. So, like, when you're, like, let's say when you're sleepwalking, whatever intelligence is guiding you, that is ajnana sharira. And it is eternally binding us. The ajnana eternally binds us.
Unconscious mind.
Unconscious, right? The unconscious mind. So it can be, you know, genetics. So when we say Okay, genetics, yeah, you can physically see what the genetics is. But which one reveals itself? It is all determined by karma shakti. What genetics reveals. Because those are the forces, all of those are forces that are creating who we are, how we think, what we do. Right? So that is, so karma, so ajnana means it's not like something. Ajnana means all the intelligence that controls us, which is below our awareness, which is all our instincts and everything that is controlling us, that is called as ajnana. And that is always going to be binding us until the light of knowledge frees, right? So freedom is not death. One of the questions in Brahma Sutra is, at death, we are going to be free anyway. So what is the need for sadhana, right? A sadhaka will also die. Even a person who has enjoyed and partied whole life is also right. He will be free, he will be also be free. What is the need for sadhana? So then he says, no. Because the structure is, at death we lose this. These two are still there. Whatever you are doing, so and this is, Kathopanishad still says, it says, Lata had this kids Vishnu Sahasranama group, and we were telling, and I was telling them, see, and Yama explains this later on, whatever you gain in this world, property, name, everything, it is all associated with your physical body. When you lose the physical body, you lose everything. You do not carry anything. Whatever you have created in this world, wealth, status, whatever it is, nothing you will carry. What you'll carry is in these two. And what is that? Yama says, yatha karma, yatha shrutam. The only two baggage, you'll come with the light baggage. The only two baggage that you carry forward in your journey is what you have done and what you have learned. Nothing else you'll carry. Whatever you may have done or created, whatever it is, you will never carry. So there is only big question, right? On your birthday, the big question you need to, or even on the new year, what you need to ask is what? What have I learned this year? What have I done this year? Right? So those are the two real questions that really matter. Nothing else really matters. Have I done the right things? Have I learned the right things, right? To know to do. So these are the only two things that the sukshma sharira, which is what we call that vasanas, right? So we carry the vasanas. So that is what we carry. What we have learned and what we have done.
So is the Upanishad saying that the soul is actually learning all the time and is carrying that?
Correct. Yeah. And if you look at
the mind, which is around the soul, is what is carrying all the impressions, not the soul itself.
Now, of course, who's this? The soul is learning. The Atma is learning. Why would Atma not learn?
Atma is just a witness, right? It's just a witness consciousness.
That is all this new age people. What do you mean by just witness? There is not just awareness. There is, see, and Yama says that later on. If you look at sthula, there is sthula indriya, like, which is like the physical eyes, is the sthula, for example, physical eyes is the sthula indriya, sukshma indriya, that means sthula indriya will be on the body shell, sukshma indriya will be in the sukshma sharira, which means what? The mind's eye, right? So even when you are dreaming and you see the dream, there is they have seen the brain activity where the visual centers are, they are stimulated there. So that is a sukshma indriya. Even without physically seeing, you can still see in your mind's eye. So your physical eye, your mind's eye, which is a sukshma indriya, and then your atma's eye. So because without atma, there is no seeing. Where is seeing, knowing, doing? There is nothing, right? There is iccha shakti, jnana shakti, kriya shakti. If the atma has no kriya, the body will not have any kriya, in the sense that, in a certain way. So it is the Atma's Jnana Shakti that is what is aware of this. Right? So the Atma's Jnana is there. Right? Atma is the nature of Jnana. It's of the nature of Kriya and it's nature of Icha. So Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti. So, but here it's like the magnet, but the information is stuck here in the vasana. Right? So the vasanas is what we carry. Right? And that is the reason why Brahma Sutra says that the need for sadhana is that death is not freedom. So it is not easy, because death is not freedom. Freedom is in knowledge. The real death happens with knowledge. Until then, it's just physical death. Because in terms of what we carry inside, that stays on. Until the knowledge and what we do changes it, that will stay the same. Or even like, not the same, but you know, birth over birth, it's worse. So that is what it's saying. And that is the need for, that is the need for sadhana. That's the reason why you need to do good things and you need to learn. Because those are the only things that will change our inner core. There's nothing else that will change the inner core. Those are the only two things, right?
So, one doubt.
Yeah.
So, this Dhurat Sharira, Sukshma Sharira, I could understand.
Yes.
About the Karana Sharira, so
yes.
What comprises of it and what does this function?
So, that it's not what comprises. It is like, think of this, right? When you are unaware, what is the intelligence that is guiding you? That is a Karana Sharira. So it can be genetical, like genetics is only the physical manifestation of the intelligence that will guide you, right? So that means when you're unaware, you're still functioning. You're breathing, your body is doing all the things and all the functions. That is the Karana Sharira. Because that is avidya. That means that which you are not aware of, that is controlling you, that is what it is.
Right? So shouldn't that be part of the sthula sharira itself?
No, that will be stuck to the sthula sharira. Because if you look at the physical causal, right, you can say, oh, this genetics has created this kind of individual, or this kind of parents have created it. But that is what is called as instrumental cause. The real cause is we were born in that body because of our karma. But it's the causality of the physical world and our karma, they match and they come together like that. So it's kind of parallel.
The way sometimes we say, like, we are going somewhere and suddenly something instinct tells us, okay, let's take the other road. And
yeah.
Then you later realize, okay, what guided me? And we already say, oh, God guided me on the right world way.
Yeah. So that is called as, this is called as what? Mindlessness. This is mindfulness in the sense, right? Mindlessness, you know. You're not even thinking it, you're going and then you'll realize, I wanted to go to that store, why I am going? Because why? Your muscle memory and all of those things. So all of that is also intelligence.
No, I'm talking about like, sometimes we are going and we say, okay, we don't even know that there is some danger ahead. But some instinct just tells you that let's not go this way, let's go their way.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
Later you realize, okay, what made me change? Because I usually go that way, but some instinct inside just made you take the different decision.
Yes. Yeah.
That is what you're talking about, the unconscious guidance.
That's the unconscious, yeah. And the unconscious, you know, sometimes it guides you the wrong way also, right? It's all your puro punya.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that you have not, you know, aware of, that came to you, that's all in this. Right? And this is also mindlessness. It's because, you know, all of our actions are mindless. Until we put the spotlight of the awareness on it, everything is mindless. And it will always be mindless. But we have to kind of fix it where it's broken and then let it be mindless in the right way. Right? We want the mindlessness to be in the right way. Right? So, and that's what avidya is. Right? That is the thing. So that is what Yama is explaining. Our choices are like this. And they are like this because of avidya and vidya. Avidya is that force within us that is making us take the easy path. Right? And creating pressures in our mind when we want to do something not easy. Right? So, and because the prakriti wants to keep us in prakriti. So that's why all the instincts are like that. Right? So that is, so he says, now that is, and you are so great because you did not fall for it. You did not fall for the pressures of prakriti, the pressures of ajnana, which is your prayer's choice. Right? You made the right choice. So I'm so happy and overjoyed that I got the right student for me to teach, right? And then he says, how difficult it is to, this one, that in the, I think this is the last, in the last class, That is the mantra that we were studying. So the perspective, right? You need to have the perspective. He is giving the perspective. Yeah, so that is the seventh, right? Sramanayapi bahubir yo nalabhyaha shunmantopi bhagavo yam navidyuhu acharyo vakta kshalo yasya labdha acharyo jnata kushalana vishta. So that is what he is saying. And I saw this somewhere, the perspective, right? So he is saying, when you die, this is the perspective. What this essence of what he's saying? Till how many generations do you think people will remember you? Not more than two. You are gone from memory. And whatever you have done, everything, only few at 10th house strong, they'll have kirti, right? It'll be there for a long time. But again, 99% of the people, nobody will remember. In one generation, at the maximum two generations, gone. So then your perspective is, why are you doing all this? Because when you are gone out of memory, you know, even all of them, even your close ones, one generation, and after that it's gone. So then why are you doing all this? Right? So what Yama is trying to tell the world, Nachiketa already knows this. He's saying, and in the Bhagavad Gita, yesterday's verse, you know, where avyaktadini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidhanam eva tatraka paridevana. Okay? So he's saying, where we come from, we don't know. Where we go, we don't know. What we know is this, what here. So why not make you're worrying about all of those things that we don't know where you are going, where we are coming from, we have no idea. But we are aware of this world, right? We became aware of, oh, this is my life. This is me, this is my life. Why not make use of it? So that is the sense that he's saying, see, you got one life. Now you may say, oh, we might have rebirth. But you don't control what you will be born as next. This is the only birth you can control. You don't know in what context, in what family, in which country, where you will be born. If you are born as a human being, right? That is also a question mark. So now what you can control is today. So he says, here, Shravanayapi bahubir yo nalabhyaha. That knowledge that I'm going to give you, that, you know, and that you already have that, the general sense of what is the right thing to do and all that. For many, the possibility of even hearing that, reading that, right? You should also add reading, because there is writing also now, right? But in the Upanishad time, hearing that is also very rare. Nalabhyaha, that means 99.9% of the people who are born in this world will die without knowing this. Not just because, you know, I'm talking about people who are human beings. Not just because they are somewhere in a different civilization, in a different part of the world. But also people in our own traditions, I don't care about it. It's fine. Right? So that's alasya. Right? They don't want to know. Don't get the chances that, like, oh, I'm very interested, I want to know. It's not like that. It is like them. Many of them will not even have interest. Those who have interest will not get the chance to access. So there's an access problem. Big access problem to this. Shravanayapi bahubir yo nalabhyaha. Not just that. Shrunvanto api bhagavo yam na vidyuhu. People who read and, you know, study this, it's very rare for them to understand it. Huge problem, right? It's not like, oh, now I have access to it. No, that is just one problem. You got the entry ticket. But when you have entered it, do you think you are going to understand? No, it's very rare. Rare here in the sense that it's very difficult to understand. Because, see, what Yama is saying, that there needs to be interest, the direction, and persistence. This is not going to happen in one life. So there has to be persistence. Because if you have the direction right in this life, and the interest, Krishna says in the Gita, Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Vayat. Even if you start in this direction, I will make sure that this will continue in your next lives. Right? So you don't control what you'll be born as. What Krishna is saying is, show interest now. I will make sure that that will persist through your next lives. Okay? Krishna has already said that. You don't need to worry that you cannot control where you are born as, what you are born as, and all of that stuff. But what you control is this life, and what you need to do, be doing. The most important thing is set your direction of your life right and start doing this. Take one step. Yoga Kshema Vahamya. I am there to get you what you lack. Right? So beautiful. I mean, Krishna has re-quoted mantras of Kathopanishad so many times in the Gita. Gita is like a commentary of Kathopanishad. That's how it is. Right? And here it says, Shrunvantopi Bhagavo Yamna Vidyuhu. Even when you hear it, you will not know. That means you have to hear. It's not that, only you have to be very intelligent. It's not like that. It means you need to Abhyasena Vairagyena cha. Right? You need to keep doing it, keep reflecting it. You know, it's not like, I heard, now I am clear, I am done. No, it's not like that. You hear, you think, you reflect, you are confused, you think again, and question it. Pariprashnena, right? Krishna says what? Pariprashnena sevaya. Right? So you have to be questioning again and again and again. Only then the light of that understanding. Yes?
Sunil, what is this about when they are talking about this? So, Shravanayapi Bahubhihi. So what is not available? Is this about the soul, or is it about sadhana, or is it
the whole, whole thing. First of all, the Paramatma, the jnana of Paramatma, and the whole sadhana, how to do all of those things, it is very rare to find. Right? Rare to find the right one. And that's what Yama will say, explain. You know, what is the right guru is also next, right? So he's going towards that. And so now he's saying, it is very, very rare to find people who have access to this knowledge, even rarer for those who have access and they who have practiced and you have understood it. Right? Ascharyo vakta kushalosya labdha, ascharyo jnata kushala anushishtaha. That is where now he's saying. Why? Because it is rare to find a guru who knows this and can communicate. Ascharyosya vakta. Right? And it is even rarer for a student to have such a guru and understand from such a guru. So now look at it, it's like, when you are doing search, you add all these filters, finally it says no option available. That is where we are, right? So it is like, it's so rare. You know, I have interest, but I don't have access. If I have access, I don't have the ability to, reflect and, do all of that stuff. To get access, I need a right guru. I cannot get the right guru. And the right guru should know and should be able to communicate. If he is able to communicate, I need to understand from him and learn from him. So how rare it is. Why he is saying that it's rare is, this is it. Because it's very rare. If you try now, you will be in the direction. Otherwise, you will forever be lost. Right? Unless your hatha is such that it's going to bring you back. You are forever lost. Right? So the importance of, having this, the importance of doing it now in this life is what Yama is insisting. Nachiketa already knows, he's insisting for the world. He's insisting that, hey, don't wait, because it is now. This has to be done now, because this is how it is. It's not like everything is freely available. You just need to be interested and then you can start doing it. No. Even when you have interest, you need to have access. Even when you have access, you need to reflect and understand. Even if you can do all of that stuff, you need a guru that can communicate, right? So it's so rare that, just take the first step so that these things can happen in the long run. So he's getting the direction right. He says, set your life in the right direction now, is what this one and even in the Gita, Krishna says. Right? Is it clear?
So I have one other question, sorry.
Yes, yeah, no problem. Yeah.
But in the Gita, there is also the shloka where it states, Ashtariyavat Pashyati Kashchidena, right? It's about the soul.
Yeah.
So this one seems to be kind of linked to that, but this has more than just the soul. This
no, that one. Yeah, he's talking about the God that we are connected to, how rare, like how, you know, rare it is. Because for somebody to have a hand of the darshana is ashtarya, right? So when, and something he says, right? In the end it says, even people who have understood, read all of these things, yeah, they'll not understand, right? So that is, so exactly that sense, but a little slightly different. But Krishna has taken from this one. He has taken from this and he said, how rare it is. God is rare. Knowing God is rare. And because people, even when you know, you will not understand. That is what in the Gita verse he says, which is derived from this. Yeah. Okay. Now it says, what kind of a guru you need, right? Now he says, it is very rare. But you know, can we go to social media gurus, YouTube channels and all of that stuff and search for the guru? Now he says, be careful about this, he says. Na narena avarena prokta yesha suvigneyo bahudha chintyamanaha. That is what is the definition of our internet gurus today. He says, avarena narena. Avara means inferior, mediocre. Again, 99, I come back to 99 and 1. 99% of those who claim to be gurus are mediocre. 1% is amazing, right? So 99% of the mediocre gurus are what? They are avara naras. Avara nara means mediocre, useless people. Namare prokta, if you learn from them, why it is not, it's not going to be fruitful? Bahudha chintyamana. They will all have their crazy theories, right? See, you know, in the Gita, Krishna says, Vyavasayatmika buddhihi ekeha purunandana. Bahushaka hi anantascha buddhayaha avyavasayinam. That bahushaka ananta is what he is saying. That means, Vyavasayatmika means what? Pramana, in the commentary it says, Pramana nischita jnana. That means, In simple English, opinions are free and cheap, and many. Real knowledge is Bhagavan. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi eka. So if what I am thinking and what you are thinking is different, it's either your opinions or our pramanas are not correct. Because if our pramanas are right, then we will both be saying the same things. Right? So, avyavasayinam bahushaka. That means people who are just opinionated, right? And now in the age of social media, everybody has an opinion. So opinions are cheap. Oh, I think this is how it is going to be. I think God is like this. I don't care what you think. So if anybody says, I think it is like this, okay, keep it to yourself. I don't care about it. Right? What I think doesn't matter. So what matters is what you think and understand, what is the basis, pramana for it, what is the pratyaksha for it, what is the anumana for it, and more than that, if something that's beyond our physical grasp, which is, you know, the God, there's only one source of knowledge of God, where? It comes from Agama, it comes from Vedas, right? So that means, if what I say, if you show me that the Veda is telling that same thing, then I will say yes. I don't care if it is some big guru with millions of followers, he's saying all of this stuff. If what he's saying is there, is it there in the Veda Shastras? If it's not there in the Shastras, it can be the greatest of all the gurus. I don't care. And you should not too. Because why? Opinions do not matter. Opinions are dime a dozen. So that is what Krishna says there. Opinion, bahushaka hi anantascha buddhaya avyavasayina. If you don't want any you know, pramanas, you can come with any wild conjectures. Oh, I have this, you know, theory that this is how it is. The world is a simulation, and you know, this, so many people are very fond of this. We are living in a simulation, this thing, that thing, that's okay, yeah, it's all nice, make a movie about it, it's fine. But what is the basis? Is the Shastra saying that? If it is not saying it, get out of here, right? So you have to first come to that thing, that conviction. You don't need conviction about God, we are still, you know, in the starting line, right? You don't need to have that, you need to have conviction about what? I have this conviction that the only thing I'm going to listen to is that which is pramana based, proof based. The proof should either be perception, logic, reasoning, or it should be in the Shastras. Anything that is not there, I don't care about it. So if you are convinced with just this much, you are on the right path. Because eventually we'll all come to one conclusion. If that methodology, see, that is the method of gaining knowledge. The method of gaining knowledge is to be evidential, right? It has to be pratyaksha evidence, anumana evidence, or agama evidence. If it is not that, then it is not. And agama evidence will also come from anubhavis, right? Anubhavis. What is the difference between anubhava and anubhava? I might have said, I don't know if I have mentioned this last time. Anubhava is our experience. You know, oh, I have 20 years experience, I have 30 years experience doing all that. That is anubhava. I have anubhava. Anubhava is experience within. The inside experience, you might be a child. Even the outside experience would be, oh, I have 30 years of outside experience. But my inner experience is, I'm still a baby. Right? So anubhava. So when they say mahanubhavas, right? Endaro mahanubhavalu. In the great song, Tyagaraja Kirtana, who is the mahanubhava? Maha Anubhavi. Anubhavi is those who have those, the matured inner experience, inner wisdom, they are called Anubhavis.
Isn't it, understand the same logic?
Yes.
Perception, what you perceive, your own experience, you can base that. But then, when you say Shastras, then a lot of the stuff that is mentioned in the Shastras cannot be like scientifically, you know, like, you can't prove, right?
Correct.
Like, then there's just a question like how to convince the next generation.
See, the thing
because
is,
person may refer to some of the Shastra that we don't believe in and then say that's what the Shastra says. You know, if you're not a Christian, go to heaven. I mean, like, you're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
That's a Shastra. It's a pramana for them. So, I mean, there has to be some way to prove what you say. Like, what, you take the learning with you, you said. Like,
yes.
You know, right. How do we prove it? Well, like,
you can't prove.
People are born, they have to go to kindergarten again.
Yeah.
If you take the learning with you, they should be starting a degree.
No.
I'm talking about.
No, what Krishna says in the Gita is that when whatever you have learned, it's not like you'll be born reciting the Gita. Like if you've learned the Gita, it's like at some point of time that will naturally come to you. See, some people have to, practice Gita for decades to learn Gita. Some people they just need to see once, and it comes to them. Why? Because the Purva, Krishna says, Purva Dehikam, in the 6th chapter, and I'm actually...
Is it the unconscious mind there playing a part?
Vasana, yeah, you're Purva Smarana.
Like a prodigies, like childhood prodigies, they sit there and they have the music.
Yes.
At age 5.
Correct.
But so, you can see in some people there, but not everybody.
Not everybody. But I think we all come with something we have not tapped into.
Some knack or ability which is easier for you than others.
Yeah, something it's you're so inclined that if you start doing it, you know, you'll be very, like, you know, I've heard this, but in the entrepreneurial world, it says do something which is play for you and work for everybody else, right? So what you need to do in life, and in terms of business it came, but even in life, is do something in which that is a play for you. But for everybody else, it's work. For me, this is a play. I mean, I can go on and on and on for hours.
It doesn't
end.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's come. But again, you need to tap into, like, what is play for you? Something, if you don't even look at time. When you look at time, oh, 5 hours already. So that is what you should be doing. That is natural to you, right? That is the Purva Dehika Smarana.
Nobody has watched Netflix, they watch Netflix for hours now. In the past, previously.
See, what it is doing is that is kind of blinding us to our inner spirits, where, you know, it would have taken, because now that is connected to us. We don't even know what is naturally, you know, what we naturally want to do, where we are playing, right? So that is what it is. Do something, you need to remember this, do something which is play to you and work for others. That's what it is, right? So he says, that is, you know, na narena avarena prokta esha suvigneyo bahudha chintyamana. So some guru, some mediocre, even Yama is saying, avara nara means mediocre. Some mediocre, you know, dime a dozen guru, when he says something, that is not going to give you knowledge. It's not suvijnaya. Suvijnaya means it's not going to create the knowledge in you. Why? Bahudha chintyamana. That person is, you know, conjectures and opinions is what he's dumping on you. That opinions and conjectures is not going to do anything. Then he says, ananya prokte gatiratra asti. One more thing he said. It is not without somebody else other than you telling you, you're not going to get it. So, no, I don't want to go any guru, I'll do self study. Not going to happen.
See? So, the books cannot serve as books, reading books, because we do the book club, for example.
Yeah.
It will help you, right, to get knowledge.
No, that is fine. But this is the knowledge that he's talking about.
It's spiritual.
Yeah, it's very, you know, high spiritual knowledge. He says, you cannot by yourself gain it. You need ananya. That means na anya. Right? So ananya prakte gatiratrasti. So if you're not told by somebody, there is no gati. There is no moksha. There is no jnana. Gati here is jnana. And also ananya. If ananya is also means what? The one who says, I am the subservient to God. Only those, that is what is going to give you the right knowledge. All of our gurus, you know, are saying, I am Shivoham, Visoham, Aham. Yeah, that all that Aham, all of this, that Aham is not going to, I am the greatest. That is the guru you should get out of. Right? Because Ananya Prokta, they have to be Ananyas. Yes, no. Aham Anyaha, I am different. Right? So ananya prakte katiratra nasti. Right? So now, why anor aniyan hi atarkyam anupramana? So it comes to your question, Krishna. So it says, why we cannot do self-knowledge? Because anu means it is so subtle that we cannot grasp. So it's because of the subtleness of Paramatma, you cannot. It's not like you can gain the knowledge by yourself, through your senses. Your senses, your intellect, you might be the great MIT, Stanford, that thing will give you that knowledge. Because it is beyond the grasp of the mind. Right? So that's what it is. It says, aniyan hi atarkyam anupramanat. Because it's anupramanat means, not it's like it's a small, it means it's very subtle. That it is not going to be graspable. Right? It's not right out there that I can just go, oh, it's like this. No, it's not like this. It is very confusing. It is hidden. Right? So it is not known to the senses. The senses will not reach there. So how do you know, how can you learn about something that you cannot see, know, reason? Right? That is what it is. So you have to be taught by the guru, but that guru has to be suitable guru. So that is what, you know, the filters you have put. It is, you cannot self-study, you cannot self-learn, right? And for example, Nachiketa was left like that, right? Uddalaka did not train him, he did not teach him, and Nachiketa at this point of time has not gone to school, right? He's not gone to the Gurukula. His brother has gone, Shvetaketu has gone to Gurukula. Uddalaka sends Shvetaketu because Shvetaketu shows all the external intelligence. So Uddharaka, oh, this guy must be very good. Let me send him. But he comes back in Chandogya Upanishad. Like what? Like, I know everything, right? In the Chandogya, Tattvamasi, right? So there he teaches him. But here, Uddharaka thinks that this fellow is useless, right? He thinks Nachiketa, you know, because externally he doesn't, he just, you know, he's just wandering in the Guru, you know, in his father's house, and he's not doing anything. So he has given him menial task. You go do clean up that, do that, that is what he's doing. But he is the one who is really educated from inside. Who taught him? That is Paurvadehik. So Nachiketa's knowledge has come from his previous births. And so it's just connected like that. Shvetaketu, even though he has all the education, has not learned. Right? But of course his father will teach him and kind of nudge him to the right path. But that's how it is, right? Nachiketa. So he's telling, Yama is telling, getting the right guru is very, very important. So do not, it's not like getting a guru. You can just self-study until you get a right guru. Right? So again, but with the thing that the self-study is not going to be the all of it. Right? That's not the final thing. The self-study is just because you are not, until you get the right guru that can be, give you the anubhava and anubhava. Right? So that is very important. So he's made very sure to tell you, na narena avarena prokta yesha subneyo. Bahudha Chintyamanaha. Never go to somebody that is Bahudha Chintyamanaha, giving opinions again and again and again, because your opinion is diamondism. I don't care about the opinion. Tell me the basis for that opinion. Then I will listen to it. So that is what Yama is saying.
How does Guru impart knowledge beyond senses? I mean, like, how does he get the student to understand the subject? Because we all use senses to understand.
No, sense is used to nudge. Right? The extrasensory happens by ourselves. So if you are nudged in the right direction, then you gain the knowledge yourself.
Like
you need to be
like intuition.
Yeah, it will be intuition.
Intuitive.
Right. Yeah, because you know, Krishna says what? The knowledge comes from Atmani, right? It comes from within us. It comes from. So what the Guru is doing is kind of like, you know, he's kind of like removing this. So that this will shine from within. My confusions are gone, right? So and that's something that you cannot explain to the other. It has to come from within you. But whatever has covered it has to be removed. That removal doesn't come from your opinions. It comes with nischita jnana, right? So it has to be coming from a guru. Then he goes on, he says, na esha tarkena matirapaneya prokta anyeneva sugnanaya preshta yam tvam apaha satya dhritir batasi tvadrik naha bhuyat nachiketaha prashta. Beautiful. He said, tvadrik bhuyat nachiketaha prashta means somebody of like you, getting somebody like you to ask question is rare. I love it, he says. You know, I love that I got a student so pristine that I can teach and pour all the knowledge, right? Tvadriganyaha, there is nothing, nobody like you. You know, prashta, that means, prashta. Prashta means questioner. The person who is inquiring, I will not find anybody else like you because you deserve to know. You have the character, you have the hunger to know. It's so, you know, so important, right? Tvadriganyaha, naha, he says. So he's saying, to me, it is an opportunity that I got a student like you who is asking the question. I would love to get a student like you, I got it. Right? He's saying, I'm lucky that I got a student, I'm fortunate that I got a student like you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So, different gurus would be right for different students?
No.
Meaning, like, I'm thinking for Shweta Ketu, it was Uttalaka, for Nachiketa, it is Yama. And also, the gurus would be different at different stages in your life.
No, it's not. So, what I'm saying is, different, of course, it's going to be different gurus.
Mm-hmm.
But they are same type of gurus, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
They are same type.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it might. You know, gurus are, you know, there's so many gurus, right? But what type of guru? So, those who are anubhavis themselves. They are fit to be the gurus that he's talking about.
Because all the gurus have to be all enlightened to be qualified for that role.
For this kind of knowledge,
yeah.
Right? Because what Nachiketa is asking is highest knowledge, right? But yeah, for other stuff, you can have other gurus, as long as they are not proclaiming that they are Jagatguru.
Right.
Right? So that is a so character of the person who is teaching you is very, very important. And do not take knowledge from a cheap person is what they might say. Because it's a very important thing that you should not fall for cheap in this, is what he's saying. So na esha tarkena matirapaneya. So logic will not get you God. Beautiful, he said. Right? So what you have reached, matihi apaneya. So, and in the beautiful commentary, so the apaneya is like, you know, getting. They have split it as, you know, it's aneya and apaneya. That means logic can neither prove nor disprove God. Beautiful, right? Why is it? Why is logic? So reasoning has no place in philosophy. In the highest sense. Why?
Things haven't been discovered yet. Like, whenever we ignore things, thinking that it hasn't been scientifically proven, we haven't reached...
No, let's not talk about scientifically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, knowledge, science is a kind of knowledge. But knowledge in general, we gain through...
Experience.
Three pramanas, right?
Senses.
Right? It's sensory.
Something which is beyond senses is difficult to know because it exists, but we can't grasp it because things are beyond senses.
Correct. Right? So now let's look at this.
Like for a blind person, the world is a dark place. But we know that it's not a dark place because somebody who can see it's a dark, it's not a dark place. But for a, let's say, the 99% of the population are blind, for example,
they
will just say the world is a dark place.
Yes.
But then the person who has eyes cannot prove.
That is exactly what he's saying. Right? How does a person who has eyes explain the world to a person who is born blind? And we are all born blind. Because ajnana is blindness, right? What does he say?
Our world is limited by our senses.
Yes.
And then we can some scientific equipments can extend it a little bit, but they
but
can't capture the whole thing.
Correct. Because it cannot capture the sukshma, right? So how do we know? We can only know three ways, correct? We can know pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means that means your senses, right? Your senses in the mind. Mind is also a sense organ, right? So your manas is also a sense organ. How do you know time? Manas. How do you know space? Manas. So all of those are through manas. How do you know sukha dukkha? Through manas. There's no indriya there, right? So there are six sense organs and six organs of actions, and manas is the sixth sense and the sixth organ of action, right? So externally there's five and five, but manas is both a sense organ and an organ of action, right? So we know through this, we know through our senses, we can see, we can hear, we can taste, we can smell, and then see. But even within that five senses, what does the Veda say? Padram karnevihi shuniyava devaha padram pashyema akshavihi yajatraha. So even within that one, padram shuniyama, padram pashyema. Eyes and ears are the only two. Sadhana, smelling and tasting will not do anything for you, for sadhana. Well, actually, it's against, you know, touch, smell, and that is not, it gives you knowledge, but it's not going to give you knowledge of the world. Right? So, even in the five, there is only two worth considering. To see, to hear. That is the only two. Right? You think you can get sadhana through your taste? No, you're not. Right? So, let's, if you limit to that, so all your information that you have gathered now is through your senses. Right? Your eyes and ears, right? And then that which you cannot, this is called as anubhava, right? It's direct perception. That which you cannot do that, it's called, the next one is anumana. Reasoning. Reasoning, right? Inferring, reasoning. But it is anu. Why it's called anu? Tarka is anu. What is unknown? It's a prefix.
Against.
Following. Towards. Following. Anu means follow, right? Anuja. Anuja means smaller brother, younger brother. That means he who follows, right? So Anu in Sanskrit, the prefix Anu means that which follows. So, Manam Jnanam. Anumana is always following the Pratyaksha. If there is no Pratyaksha, there is no Anumana. All the people who are talking about reasoning, I'll reason this. They don't understand that reason depends on Pratyaksha. If there is no Pratyaksha, there is no reasoning. As simple as that. This is the main, Pratyaksha is the main, Anumana is its sidekick. But in today's world, in the West, what has happened is they have made logic like a big thing. But without telling that logic is actually based on knowing. See, what does it mean? You know, like, take any logical statement, right? All swans are white, right? So all swans, how do you say that all swans are white? Because, logic is a regularity of your experience, right? So all the swans I have seen, they are always white. Therefore, if you see another swan, it is going to be white. That is your logic. Until they came up with a black swan in Australia. Now there is a great book called Black Swan by Nassim Taleb. That is all based on, logic is basically induction. Induction is more than deduction. And West has made deduction into a big thing. So what it means is, we deduce. Based on what? Induction. Induction means what? That means you are seeing, in Sanskrit, it's called vyapti. That means as long, so for example, you know, take a logical statement like, wherever there is fire, there is a smoke. Therefore, when I see a smoke, I deduce that there should be a fire. That is the reason. That is what Anumana is. But is there an independent Anumana? No. What is that Anumana based on? It is based on Vyapti. What is Vyapti? That means permanent connection. Which is, wherever there is fire, I have seen smoke. I have never seen a fire without a smoke. Therefore, when I see a smoke, I can deduce that there is fire. Even that means, even Anumana needs Pratyaksha. That means, in the instances where you don't see the fire and the smoke, and just see the smoke, you can deduce the fire. But you still have to see the smoke. So there is Pratyaksha there. Pratyaksha has to be there. Right? But the Pratyaksha is incomplete. So Anumana comes where the Pratyaksha experience is incomplete. Right? You can deduce the effect from the cause. You can deduce the cause from the effect. That is where Anumana is. Well, the cause is unseen. The effect can tell you what the cause is. Where the effect is unseen, the cause can tell you what the effect is. But how does it tell you? Where you have seen cause and effect. See, in India, the Charvakas, right? Very, very important. The Charvakas, who are like hedonists, right? They only consider Pratyaksha, Pramana. Anumana, they don't consider Anumana as a Pramana. And there's a treatise that talks about, how do I know that there is always going to be a smoke with fire? You don't know. So how do you go with logic? So he says logic itself is illogical. Right? I mean, you have to see, how they have written. Charvakas, we say Charvaka and all of that. But they came up with all these books about their methodology. Why they are saying, we only believe in direct experience and perception. We do not believe even in logic. Why? Because of all of this. I cannot assure you that you can have a smoke with fire all the time. How do I know? Yeah, we don't know. Right? There's no smoke. If somebody comes up with a smokeless fire, there goes your... Or a smoke without fire, which now we can produce, right? Smoke without fire. So if you're seeing, you know, there's an example where I see a smoke in the mountain and I deduce that there's a fire there. Now if somebody produces smoke without fire and you see the smoke, do you think that deduction works? It doesn't work. So all the people that says reasoning, logic, this, right? Where is the logic? They don't understand the nature of logic. Logic depends on pratyaksha. So pratyaksha, direct experience, is one cornerstone. And then what else do you get the knowledge from? All the things that you know, it's not just through your experience, it's not just through your reasoning.
From other people's
experience. Right? By reading other, you know, words, right? So it's called a shabda pramana. Which is the majority of it is what I have read, I have heard, I have seen. That is basically the majority of our knowledge is shabda pramana. Now we can also say drishta pramana in the sense that, knowledge can only occur these three ways. Tell me a fourth way. You either directly experience it, or you can reason with partial experience. You can reason out, or somebody's experience has come to you through words, or words in the olden days. Now we know TV, internet, whatever it is. So that is there a fourth way of knowing? Believing is not knowledge. I mean, you can believe whatever
you want. Sometimes there is no logic to it, but you
can.
Yeah.
Like, subconsciousness
it.
Guiding you.
But that is also pratyaksha. It is your direct experience. That anubhuti, sakshi, it's called sakshi. Right? Sakshi means that which is just intuitive, that you just know. Right? That's sakshi. Sakshi anubhuti. Yeah. So you get knowledge through sakshi as well. So all the, like for example, time is sakshi. Your eyes is not seeing time, you are not tasting time. How do you know time? It's sakshi anubhava. Right? Same thing of your inner experience, your mental world, your sukha dukkha, depression, all of those things. There is no sense organ that knows sukha dukkha. That is also sakshi anubhava. That means Atma itself is directly in that diagram. Does Atma know? Yeah, Atma is the one that knows. The Manas will not know. The Buddhi will not know. The one that knows is Atma. Because Atma, Anubhava, Jnana Anubhava is only to Atma, right? So the senses, the depression, the exhilaration, all of those things are known to Atma. Otherwise, there is nothing else. Everything else is inanimate, right? Non-physical. Right? So so we only know through three ways. If there's no a fourth way, then we'll give you a Nobel Prize. There's no fourth way. Right? Even Sakshi Anubhuti is also pratyaksha.
What about intuition?
Yeah, that's what it is. Sakshi Anubhuti, that's pratyaksha.
Intuition is not like you're witnessing, but intuition is just that comes within, like.
Yeah. That's called a Sakshi pratyaksha. So pratyaksha is Indriya pratyaksha and Sakshi pratyaksha. It's all comes in there. So out of these two, what Indian traditions have created is, there are two domains. The domain in which pratyaksha works, and the domain in which shabda pramana works. And in the shabda pramana, I need to tell that. In the shabda pramana, and you're talking about, somebody else has written the book and all that, right? So which shastra, right? So there's, I said, in the shabda pramana, you have paurusheya, and apaurusheya. That means authored and authorless. Okay. So now paurusheya is everybody's bias. So the question comes is, every guru says I am the greatest guru. Now which guru's writing should I follow? So it says, no guru is going to be unbiased. The only unbiased is authorless, it says. Right? Is there an atharva's body of knowledge? I mean, that is a different argument. But Shrutis are apaurushaya pramana is what the tradition says. So the tradition is very clear. Your personal opinions and your personal knowledge and your personal work, not just within India, it can be anywhere across the world. They can show the direction, but they are not the ultimate arbiter of knowledge. The ultimate knowledge, other than that which you can gather through your own senses and your through experience or through reasoning, is through the body of knowledge that is authorless, biasless.
For some reason, I have always noticed this, and I'm not sure if there is a reason for it, but all major religious works like Bible or Quran or the Vedas seem to be all of Arushaya. Meaning
no.
It's always told to someone
no.
And writes.
Bible is the
Arushaya.
Mark, you know, Gospel. It's Gospel is a word. Right? So each one is writing the same story.
The Moses, when Moses goes out and stuff like that.
Yeah, God gave, right? God gave Moses all of that stuff.
It always seems like it comes from some
divine source. But here, this is not divine source. Veda is not God's words. Veda is not any Devata's words. Veda is not Paramatma's words also. Veda is authorless knowledge. Okay? So that is, so the difference between other religions is, even before Shankara, in the Purva Mimamsa school, there used to be that, what is it? Bhatta. Mandana Mishra's Kumarila Bhatta. Amazing brain. Right? And his book, you have to study that book. So he says, and his doubt, okay, is this, right? Let us assume that the knowledge or the scripture, for example, is authored by God. And God says, the world was created like this and all of that stuff. Kaumarila Bhatta says, how do you believe God? So, he is the only, and beautifully said, see, all the devatas came after God, right? He created all the devatas. So, his account of what happened at before the God, you know, all the devatas were born, he is the only person who knows it, right? So, whatever he says, we have to believe. How do we believe it? How do we know? Right? That bias comes. See, the non-confused part is only that which is authorless. Because all the authors or the rishis of the Vedas or what? They all said, it occurred to me, I'm not composed. Right? It occurred to me.
So can we consider it as authorless as something you can't attribute to a single person or person?
And it is not attributable to single person. Yes. And also if you see, many of the same riks have different rishis. Now you wonder, right, if this guy composed it, how can this guy also compose the same thing? Right? We can see all this Veda and this in Shaka for this riks, Sukta, he is the rishi. Right? But and for example, Ishavasyopanishad, right? So Ishavasyopanishad was first seen by Manu, Swayambhuva Manu. But now, in our times, the Yajnavalkya. So Yajnavalkya is the rishi for Ishavasyopanishad, right? It becomes the Shukla Yajurveda. So Shukla, he got the Shukla Yajurveda, but it is the same. Manu had it before, he has it now. But that is only small time scale. And this is like the, like who all got it, we don't know. So there's multiple carriers, vessels of the same sutra. And nobody has claimed, I have authored it. Like if you go to Rig Veda, it's like authored by Vishwamitra. No. Nobody has authored it. Nobody has claimed authorship. Right? So, again, you know, there is all this, how can there be a body of knowledge that is authorless and all that stuff comes, where even God has not authored it, right? But leave that aside, but look at the fact that if even God has authored some Shastra, how do you still have the confusion that maybe he has put something that we don't know because nobody was there to witness it. So he fudged something he said the world was created like this. How do I know? He was the only one there.
Maybe just his interpretation.
God's interpretation, right? So that's the reason why anything that is authored, and in our traditions, it's the Smritis, Puranas, and all of these are authored, right? So they are all authored. So they are all secondary. Smritis are secondary. So the primary texts in the Hindu traditions, in the Indian traditions, is Shrutis, which is the, you know, Samhitas, Brahmana, Aranyaka, Upanishad. These are all. So that means this is also the Rishi is Yama, but he's not authored. Mm-hmm. Right? So then, you know, there's beautiful questions. If Vedas are timeless and authorless, can it have history in it?
Yeah.
Is a beautiful question. So it is not like, you know, they have not thought about all of this. How does history, how does a person name come? You know, Yama is there now, but then if you look at the cycles, which Yama we are talking about? So there's, you know, see, think about endless cycle. Which Yama is still, and the beautiful thing is, you know, that Spider-Man, what is multiverse?
Oh,
Spider-Man, right?
Okay.
Indian Spider-Man, his uncle, Indian uncle is killed. American Spider-Man, his uncle is killed, right? So you're seeing multiverses where each Spider-Man's uncle is being killed. That is exactly this. Which Yama is telling? Oh, this Manvantara's Yama is telling you. Oh, when you see I there, oh, in that age, that Yama is telling that song. You know?
It's a position.
So who composed?
Yeah.
Oh, that is not even Yama telling. Because this Yama is also telling that. That Yama is also telling you. And then you see all infinite Yamas and infinite Nachiketas listening from infinite Yamas. Right? So did they tell it?
No.
Right? Beautiful. It's sad that Indians have all of these things and they cannot even make a movie out of it. Like that. it's useless fellows. Beautiful. I mean, all of these things, right? I mean, there's like a march of ants in Varahapurana, not Varahapurana, Kurma Purana, I think, where Indra wants to construct a huge palace and he's troubling Vishwakarma. So, you know, Vishwakarma comes up with a design and Indra says, no, this is not, you know, the previous, you know, Indra probably had bigger than that. I need to make bigger than any Indra, right? And then, you know, Vishwakarma gets very upset. Isn't this guy, what is this guy saying? And then he goes to Brahma and says, see, this Indra, I am unable to satisfy with any of my designs because he wants bigger and bigger and bigger and I cannot create it. So then he says, you know, you bring him. So Indra goes to Satyaloka and then they bring him and then he's there and then he sees a lot of ants going. Lot of ants, army of ants. Then he's just watching, you know, it's Satyaloka and all these ants are going. Very, very curious, what is all this? And he asks him, Brahma, what is all this? What are these ants? You know, so each one of them was an Indra. And it's endless, right? It's going there, and each one thought the same way. So, Indra, you know, you are Indra, you think you are big, there's been infinite Indras, right? You are a nobody. Right? So beautiful, that story is so nice, where, you know, where Indra understands, oh my goodness me, I thought I was exclusive and I was the greatest. Like there's a dime a dozen there, you know, of Indras going there. They're all Indras. Oh, that is also Indra. Oh, this Manvantara, that is Indra. Or that Manvantara, that is Indra. That Kalpa, that Indra. That cycle, that is the Indra, right? So it's like, oh, which Indra? You know, there's so many infinite Indras. Which Indra, right? So that is what, you know, that's what it's talking about. So, coming back to Apurusha, what is the time?
Time at 12:05.
12:05, okay. So we'll stop at this. And next, what Yama is going to say, all of these things, right? All logic and reasoning, the guru, apurushyatva. So we will, wasn't this amazing?
Yes.
Right? And we're just scratching the surface here now. so many things that Yama is going to talk about. And then I'm not going to publish all the audios. You have to come to the class.
So what is the mantra number, this one?
7, I think 7 or 8, I think.
Eight.
This one is 9. Na esha tarkena matirapaneya. So logic will cannot give you this knowledge. Logic has limitation. And what is the limitation of logic? Because logic's limitation is your experience.
Yeah.
It is all like what you know, you can reason. What you don't know, you cannot reason. Okay? So that is so what is your takeaway from this class? I need at least 5 takeaways before we end.
I have a few.
Okay.
According to me, one takeaway is a lot of the knowledge that Bhagavad Gita got, probably or some parts of it, comes directly from Kathopanishad.
No, not just the knowledge. Krishna has used the mantras from Kathopanishad. Right? Najayate, Priyate, Vagadachit, all of the things is there. So in this one.
But the more important one for me was the soul taking the experience and the knowledge of collecting it versus just it dying with your death.
Correct. And in the 15th chapter, the Purushottama Yoga, the Jiva leaves. You know, Jiva Jiva cannot move. Jiva lives with Prana. So Prana is the one that takes. Prana is the shell, right? So this the Sukshma Sharira and the Agnyana Sharira and the Jiva, they are all wrapped in Prana. Prana is the one. And then, you know, the beautiful example Krishna says, when somebody dies, you know, how do they take all the experiences with them? It's all, you know, in our nerves, right, when it's in the brain. It says, just like when the wind blows, it takes smell of all the flowers with it. That's how the flowers are still there. That's a physical body. They die. But the fragrance, the wind takes. Just like that, the prana takes our experiences and all of that out of this body.
These experiences, what kind of knowledge do you categorize them as? Out of these?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Experience, we carry our experience from one janma to other janma.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's if
See, that is called samskara, right? So samskara, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that, I have to remember I did this sin. Like, you know, in some life I remember I was teaching in this classroom. That is not it is. It is the feeling that the impact that it has created in me. Right? So, for example, you know, you might have had a fire incident. Right? But in the next life, you'll be afraid of fire. So, it's not the particulars of when you had the fire incident. The impression that it's left on you emotionally. So what you take is emotional knowledge, most of the time, but not the particulars, but the impact of that on our emotions is what we carry. So the emotion of fear will be there. That is the fragrance that you carry. The fragrance of fear. So just
anxiety. Not the specific memory.
Not usually. Most of the time, it's not specific memory, but it's more the reaction. Your emotional reaction is what is carried.
But the emotions.
That's why they say vasana.
At the end of the day, the sequences, the memory doesn't create the
emotions
associated with the memory,
Correct. Which
creates impressions.
Yes.
Would that be pratyaksha knowledge, or I'm trying to understand what kind of knowledge?
All the three. Yeah. Whatever has created an emotional impact on you, that is it. So that is what it is. Right? Okay. And then one more takeaway.
Find the right guru.
Find the right guru.
Not mediocre.
They are not a dime a dozen. Right? And then logic is overrated. Logic is overrated. Right? Na tarkena, na esha, tarkena, matirapane. Logic will not give you.
And I also learned that I didn't. Apaurusheya means really not even written by God. I did not appreciate that.
Because it's still, if it's written by God, it still has a doubt, like, did he have a bias? Right? So, unbiased knowledge is only authorless in Shabda Brahman. Otherwise, everything is author. Right? So now, what is the standard? Now the Brahma Sutra says, how do you judge an authored body of knowledge, it's not like everything authored is useless. It says, whatever is authored is in line with authorless, that is worth considering. So the standard is set.
Yes.
But whatever any individual says, it should be aligned with that. Then you can
use it.
That's what it is. That's why smritis are aligned with it. So like that.
Is there a scripture which is attributed to God? In the sense, he has written it.
Smritis. Bhagavad Gita.
Krishna, because it was told by
Krishna. Krishna, yeah. Written by Vyasa, told by Krishna. So that's, these are all smritis. Very good. Why? Because it is a summary of the Shastras, which is authorless. That is the reason why Mahabharata is Panchama Veda. Why? It has all the essence of all the Chaturveda. That is why it is more important. Even though it is authored, it is a condensation of the authorless. Therefore, why it is Mahabhara. One of the etymology of Mahabharata is that which is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Why it is heavy with
knowledge
is what it is. Right? So, okay, so we'll stop here. This is, we are just getting started. Don't miss. I am not going to put it online for until like next year. So, if you miss it now, Ascharyot Kachidayanamai. Not even, you don't know. I have 250 hours of thing that's still not loaded.
You have to find another
blue
in
the internet. Yeah. YouTube. Got to go to YouTube now. Anyway, we'll stop here. Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Marjanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum Om Tatsate.